Well, if our God is anything, he is unconventional. And because he just seems to be out of the box and be so unconventional in the way that he goes about doing the things that he has decided that he's going to do, many people have a hard time understanding and accepting his ways because they just don't get it. It doesn't make sense to them. Now, there's a lot of really intelligent people, and I mean really intelligent people, who do not believe that there is a God because they believe that the Bible is filled with these stories that are fanciful and far-fetched of a supreme being that did some things that just really couldn't have actually happened. I mean, come on now. A worldwide flood that destroyed everybody except 8 people who got in a big boat, and that's how the new world was started? Are you kidding me? An ocean that split apart so 1 million people could walk through on dry land? Get real. Pieces of bread that fell from heaven like little white cotton ball hails that tasted like honey wafers and that came down every day and fed 1 million people, and then mysteriously on the 7th day of the week, nothing came down. Sounds like Hollywood to me. And that is just a thimbleful of the many Bible stories that are told about a God who really is unconventional and does things that thinking people go, I don't think so. This must have been cooked up in someone's wild imagination. They couldn't have really happened. We continue our series that I'm calling The Miracles of Christmas. And isn't this a miraculous special time of the year? There is nothing like it. This time of year is so special, it even has its own genre of music. And I hope that you're being blessed, as I am, by listening to them at some of this seasonal music that we save for just this time of year. And this is the time of year that lasts almost for an entire month, where we celebrate the birth of Christ, and there are special get-togethers and parties, and people send out cards and Christmas letters this time of the year that they wouldn't normally do at other times of the year, because it's such a special, unique time, the holiday season. We do a lot of things only during this time of year that we wouldn't normally do during the rest of the year. But above and beyond what we do during the holiday season, I would like to suggest that the more important thing is what God did over 2,000 years ago. And what he did, no human being would have ever predicted it to come true, because the methods that he used in accomplishing his purposes were so unconventional and so extraordinary and so out of the box and maybe even surprising and shocking that no one could have ever predicted what God would have done. But you see, we serve a very unconventional God. And so what I'd like to do this morning is just to consider some of God's miraculous methods in this very interesting story of the birth of Jesus Christ as our Savior. First of all, I want to suggest that God's methods in this Christmas story surprise us. Maybe even, yes, shock us. God's methods surprise us because they are beyond our human comprehension. This is what it says in Romans 11. Really like this verse. It puts me in my place. The rhetorical question that is asked is this: who can measure the wealth and wisdom and knowledge of God? Who can understand his decisions or explain what he does? And the answer to that question is, not a one of us humans. Absolutely not. Because we are human and God is divine, and we don't understand how the mind of God works. We are very familiar with a Christmas story. Some of us have lived long enough on this planet that we've heard it every year for a bunch of years. And we're very familiar with this Christmas story and how it was put together and what happened. But let's just imagine that we have never, ever heard the story, the Christmas story of the birth of Jesus Christ. We had never heard about it before. And if we were hearing it for the very first time, what would our reaction be? Now, I know it's a very familiar story, and it's probably hard to go there to imagine never hearing it or for hearing it for the first time, what it would really be like. But to be perfectly honest with you, the Bible version of the Christmas story sounds so far-fetched, it sounds almost as every bit as fanciful and far-fetched as the secular version of the Christmas story that maintains that there is a guy who is very rotund in a red suit who has a flying sleigh with flying reindeer. And he delivers presents to every single residence in the world as he slides down a chimney. It is unbelievable. But let me tell you what else is unbelievable, because God had some very unconventional ways of going about the birth of the King of Kings, the Son of God, the Eternal One, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The Bible clearly states that because God is so unconventional, that he does things that kind of defy our human wisdom. Listen to Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, New King James Version. For my thoughts, says God, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And not a one of us in our wildest imagination on hallucinogens would have come up with the script for the Christmas story the way the Bible tells it. The Savior of mankind, being born to an unmarried peasant girl, the delivery of the King of Kings taking place in a dirty stable, the newborn king wrapped in cloth rags and placed in a feeding trough. Are you kidding me? Who would have ever written the story like that? And if we had never heard the Christmas story before, and we were hearing the version that the Bible says without all the Christmas card glossing, if we'd have heard the way it really was, we'd have gone, no way. No way. However, our God routinely operates in the realm of the unconventional and even far-fetched and fanciful. When God wanted to begin a nation, he had a baby born to a 90 and 100-year-old set of parents. When God wanted to win a battle for his people, the Israelites, over 120,000 Midianites and Amalekites, armed to the teeth, he had an army of 300 that were not armed with bazookas and rocket launchers, but with pitchers, torches, and doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo trumpets. Are you kidding me? God truly operates with methods that are surprising, yes, and even shocking. But his methods not only surprise us, but they include us. In the Christmas story, the events surrounding the birth of Jesus, both heavenly beings and earthly beings were involved in the script together. Together. Of course the heavenly beings were involved. We have God deciding that this be done. And we have the Holy Spirit involved. And of course we have Jesus born. And we have the angels, the choirs singing. Of course heaven was involved, but so was earth. Joseph, Mary, the wise men, and the shepherd were just a few of the human beings who cooperated with God in this very unconventional script called the birth of Jesus Christ. And God chooses to involve us as human beings because he intended with his work for it to be involved with a cooperative relationship, an effort between heaven and earth, where God works through human beings. Jesus stated this in Matthew 19:26. With God, all things are possible. I underlined with because that's what I want to emphasize in this verse. With God, all things are possible. He wants to partner with us. He wants to work through us. And what makes the Christmas story such a miracle is that he chose to partner through some people that we would have gone, I think you kind of did a better job of choosing human beings who you're going to partner with, who you're going to include in your method of the Christmas story. God has never depended on the strong and the powerful, the smart, the good-looking in order to accomplish his purposes. In fact, as we usually observe his methods, he characteristically chooses the weak and the unimportant and the unbeautiful and those that aren't going to make the front page. He chooses those to work through to do his works of miracles. Amen. He chose only a boy named David. You've heard that song. With a sling and a few pebbles to knock off a very powerful giant. He chose just a young boy. He chose a bunch of uneducated and unfocused, arguing men, common laborers, to be the key leaders when he birthed his church. He chose a woman with broken health and only a third grade education to be his special messenger. He chose a 17-year-old unmarried nobody, commoner, to bear the Son of God. Amen. Woo! Unbelievable, unconventional. 1 Corinthians 1:27 through 29. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world so that no one could boast before him. And that's exactly what makes God's miracles so incredibly off the chart impressive. Because he works through the weak and the lowly. And he doesn't need anything else but people who are willing. The weak and the lowly he works through. And when he chose Mary and Joseph to be the parents of the Son of God, he chose the weak and the lowly. Yes, God's methods, miraculous methods, include us, human beings. God's methods not only surprise us and include us, but I'd like to suggest that God's methods shape us. In other words, they transform us. They change us. They mold us into the kind of people that God is working in our lives for to be produced. Here's a scripture that I really like. It's actually a scripture song from the King James, but here it is from the New Living Translation. It goes like this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. Ooh, I like that. I like that a lot. The Bible is filled with examples of individuals who actually put that into practice, seeking the Lord with their entire heart and submitting to his will. And in this relationship, they had just a very close relationship with their God. Let me give you an example, and we could point to many people. This is a picture of what someone thought that Peter might have looked like. And when Peter came to Christ, he was this rough, profane fisherman. And Peter, as you well know, had many problems. He had problems with ego. He had problems with a mouth that didn't know when to shut. He had problems just blurting things out. Peter was a real piece of work. It took a while for God to shape him. Peter lived with Jesus day and night for 3 years plus. And when he was with Jesus, he learned a lot about praying and submitting to the Heavenly Father. And it didn't take place all at once. In fact, after Jesus was crucified, there is Peter denying his Lord. He hasn't yet been shaped how God wants him to be shaped. He was scared. He was the furthest thing from someone that God could really use. But God's method of transforming Peter eventually took root. And there he is on the day of Pentecost, standing in front of thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And he is no longer scared. For his life has been changed by the Holy Spirit as he's been shaped into the person that God wants him to be. And he stands up in front of this crowd and he boldly proclaims Jesus Christ. And as a result of the Spirit-anointed preaching boldly for the kingdom, as you know the story, 3,000 people say, "What do? We need to make a commitment to this." And he says, "Repent and be baptized." And they had this massive baptism. And those are the people who were the core for the early church that Jesus started. In the story of the birth of Christ, although God used some seemingly very strange methods, humanly speaking, to bring the Messiah into our world, it's a story of how when human beings trust God fully and put Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 into practice. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. When they put that into practice, he was able to transform and use them into people that had this unbelievable relationship with him. The Christmas story is a story of great joy. My paraphrase of this wonderful hymn, joy to the world, Jesus has come. Jesus not only came in the past, but he's here now through the presence of the Holy Spirit, and he's working miracles in everyone's heart who allows him to do so. Joy to the world, Jesus has come. And that baby born in Bethlehem grew up to provide the opportunity for eternal life for every man, woman, and child who would ever live on this planet. And that, of course, includes you and me. The Christmas story, however, has some sadness to it. Just a bit of a sad tinge. When Jesus was born, there was the fact that most of the world was oblivious to the fact that Jesus had been born, and they missed it. It's almost as if they had a blindfold on it, and they were unaware that one of the most important events to take place on this planet just took place. They missed it. They missed it. People are missing the birth of Christ and his meaning yet today. We as humans, unfortunately, have the veto power over the birth of Christ. It's not enough to just understand that Jesus was born in Bethlehem and that this was an historical event that actually did take place. Most of the world believes in this, that it actually took place. It's not enough just to believe in the historical event to experience the miracles of Jesus. I think what the Bible is trying to urge on us, and certainly the Apostle Paul would be a spokesperson for this approach, to experience the things of God, to really experience the miracles, it's a conditional sort of thing. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Romans 8:28, Living Bible. And we know that all that happens to us is working for our good. And notice the word that I made yellow and underlined. If we love God and if we are fitting into his plans. And we know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and if we are fitting into his plans. Let me share with you the formula. The formula for how to experience the miracles of God as illustrated through the Christmas story. Number one, God's methods surprise us if we are but aware of them. And again, just because you know some of the details about Jesus being born in a stable, in Bethlehem, and angels singing, and wise men bringing gifts, that's not the kind of relationship with Christ that I'm talking about here. If we are not aware of God's miracles in this story, we will miss the true meaning of the Christmas story. We will be like we are blindfolded to the Christmas story. And I believe that the awareness of God's miracle-working power in the Christmas story is rooted in faith and not in feeling. Faith and not in feeling. Joseph and Mary decided that they were going to be obedient to God, even though when they were presented with a scenario of what God was going to do, they must have felt in their heart, their feelings must have said, this is crazy, no way we're going to do that. But they chose to believe God by faith. And when we do that, the Spirit actively is able to work in our lives. And we are able to see a bigger picture than just what our feelings. So God's methods surprise us if we are but aware of them. So the question is, are we aware of what God is doing around us? Do we see the miracles that are taking place on a daily basis around us? Let us be aware, because God is doing things in our lives and in other people's lives. And it's happening right around us. And it would be very sad if we were oblivious to those miracles. The second point on how to experience the miracles of God, I would put like this. God's methods include us if we but partner with him. If we but partner with him. As powerful as God is, and he is almighty. Amen? As powerful as God is, he requires our participation, our partnership, in order for us to really be involved in his miraculous works. He never forces himself on anyone. He waits for us to reach our hand out and decide to be involved with him voluntarily. The question is, what should you and I be willing to reach out and partner with God in order to fulfill some kind of miracle that God wants to work? God wanted the gospel to go to everybody, but he relegated himself in the early church for people to go out and tell their friends and neighbors and acquaintances that Jesus Christ had died for them. God could have put the writing in the sky. He could have had a big voice from heaven with a megaphone, but he decided that he needed to work through people. And God could, because he is God, because he spoke a world into existence. He could have spoken the baby Jesus into existence, couldn't he? And had that baby delivered in a nice basket with a nice soft wool blue blanket on Mary's doorstep. Like a stork. But he chose a 17-year-old unmarried woman and an older man who wasn't going to be the father of this child. He chose for Jesus to be born in the fashion that he was and where he was, because God chooses to work through people. Are we partnering with God so that we can realize God's miracles? And the third point, God's methods shape us if we but let them. And I would actually say it would need to be stronger than just allowing them. If we embrace them, if we embrace them. Meeting Jesus Christ changed many lives. The same Jesus that came and shaped and transformed so many people in the Bible is the Jesus that wants to change our lives. Jesus is the divider of all mankind. The same Jesus that was a joy for Peter to know, and for John the Beloved, and for so many people in the Bible, that same Jesus, when he was met by other people, it only hardened their hearts. Around the crucifixion, we can see the Jewish leaders becoming ever more hateful when they came in contact with Jesus. The difference between accepting Christ and rejecting him, it all had to do with this open-heartedness. If we accept him, Jesus is the divider of all mankind. And the question is, what are we going to do with Jesus? What are we going to do with Jesus? Too many people have allowed their relationship with Jesus to harden their hearts. But Jesus wants, and this is what it says in 1 John 5:12, and this is my paraphrase, but this is how I see it. Anyone who has Jesus has life. Anyone who doesn't have Jesus does not have life. And that's as simple an equation as it is. Do you have Jesus? Do you have Jesus? During this time of year, we recognize the historical event. But have we seen the miracles? Have we seen the method that God used, not only back then, but he's using in our lives today? We can't be oblivious to the Christ who is alive right now and working miracles in every open and available heart for him. May that describe our hearts. Loving Father, thank you so much for sending your son to this planet. We are in awe that you would love us that much, that you would part with your boy to come here and to be our Savior. The birth of Christ, Lord, just reemphasizes the fact that this was an outright miracle. Because it's so unconventional, we would have never thought of this. And because of how you brought about the birth of Christ and who you used for this amazing event, Lord, may we just say, your ways are higher than mine. Your thoughts are higher than mine. All we do is saying, you're a good God, and we just bow low to your wisdom, and you get all the honor and the glory. Lord, I pray that this time of year be a time that we can recommit ourselves as we think about the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ, who was sent here for us personally. And we ask this in his holy name, amen.